We're so glad that you joined us today for this podcast from Bishop Quentin Moore and the Father's House in Hutchinson, Kansas. God loves you and wants the best for you, and we want to hear what God is doing in your life. Share your story with us by sending an email to mystory@fathershouse.net. If you would like to support this ministry financially, you can do so at fathershouse.net/give. Just select the option that works for you. Thanks for joining us. We hope you enjoyed today's message.
If you have your Bible, I'd like you to turn to Isaiah 61. And when you get to Isaiah 61, I want you to stick your finger in it and flip to Ephesians 3. If you're doing it electronically, I don't really know how to do that. So you have to figure that out. Someone say my name. I could have sworn someone said, are you talking to me? Oh, what's up? Did you guys have a good year last year? Oh, we had a few yeses. Well, that's good. I was talking to the staff earlier this week, excuse me, and I asked them if they had a good year or a bad year or an average year. And before I could finish what I was going to say about an average year, one of them jumped in and said, I guess it was average. Like, average is all you got? Like, really? Like, you didn't have a good year? Okay. You had an average year? Like, of the three choices, that has to be the worst choice, right? Like, complacency? You went with complacency? I had told first service, and told the staff as well, to be able to look back on 2018 and realize that I had a fantastic year is a perspective. I preached a word, a message in July, I believe, on what it meant to be a mat carrier, the four mat carriers. And what I realized in looking back on 2018, because I genuinely believe that we did have a great 2018, contrary to maybe some of the events, what I found out is that it's unfortunate that my mat had to be carried, but it's great because I had some really good conversations. And that it's just a perspective. It's just a little bit of a perspective change. That, yes, I could focus on some really tough things in 2018, but I would miss all the great conversations that I had along the way. I have realized in kind of going through, I don't know about you, but for the end of the year, for me, it's always a time of reflection. It's a time to look back at what has gone on, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And as I have done that, I have realized some things about my faith, realized some things about my preaching the word, that I'm interested in creating action. I'm not saying I always do it, but I'm very interested in creating action, whether that be in myself or in you, that when I read the Word of God, the fact of the matter is I don't believe in a God who's interested in staying in one place for too long. I believe that God wants to get some things done. I believe God wants to accomplish some things. I believe God wants to use us in order to accomplish those things. Just like Kent was saying, that we are the beloved of Christ, that we are the beloved of God, and that in us, He wants to do great things. In us, He wants to penetrate the hearts of other individuals. He wants to speak, He wants us to speak life into those individuals. He wants us to create that action. I don't believe in a Christianity that sits on the sidelines. I believe in a Christianity that is in the middle of the game. We don't serve a God who sits on the sidelines. We don't serve a God who looks from afar, only hoping that things turn out best for you. We serve a God who is in the midst of our mess. We serve a God who is in the midst of our triumphs. We serve a God who is in the midst of our failing and says, hey, man, it's all right. When you read the scripture they're going to look at today, I believe that it calls for movement. I believe that you hear and see and understand the word and the love of God, that it makes an impact not just on our lives, but on the lives around us. And in fact, I would go as far to say that if it doesn't do that for you, you may want to step out of your own way and allow God to reveal something new in your life. And I know that that may be very abrasive. That could even be offensive. But I believe it's the truth. I believe that when you read the Word of God and you understand who it is that is in us, that's never going to ask you to sit out. That he's never going to ask you to not be involved. He's never going to not use you to speak to another individual. Isaiah 61, verses 1 through 3. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he has anointed me. Because the Lord has anointed me. What you need to understand, church, is this is us. This is who we are. Now, if you're a theologian or a biblical scholar, you understand that this is a prophetic word that was about the Messiah to come. But today, if the Messiah resides in us, then are we not the anointed of God? Then are we not the ones that God is in, that God has called, that God has, if you continue to read the scripture, preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, an opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the day of vengeance of the Lord, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Church, we have been anointed. We're not anointed to just sit there. We're not anointed to just look pretty. We're anointed to bring good news to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted and the sick. James 5:14 speaks about this, about praying over the sick and anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. Contrary to popular opinion, there's no healing power in the oil. My wife is cringing right now because we are full of oils at our house. We got an oil for everything today. Esther's rolling her eyes at me. I love you. There may not be any power in the oil, but there is power in the name of the Lord Almighty. And the power in the name of the Lord Almighty dwells on the inside of me. And so as I touch the oil and touch Anita's forehead, it is that she is healed. It is that things are aligned in her body, not because of the oil, not because of me, but because of the God who dwells on the inside of me. That he is a miracle maker, that he is someone who wants to restore, someone who wants to heal, someone who wants to bring life to the brokenhearted. That is the God that I serve. And if that is the God that I serve and he dwells on the inside of me, then how can I not move? How can I not be excited that there is a new revelation? How can I not be excited that I have the ability to go beyond in 2019? If God is who he says he is and I am in him and he in me, then how can I not? The church. Us, not this theoretical thing, us, is a community of people who have been forgiven, who know they are forgiven, but have to give out of their own giftings. We are simply gifts from God placed in people's lives who have forgotten the reality of who God is or have yet to quite meet him. Either way, we have the ability, the blessing, the honor to speak into those people's lives. had a phone call the other evening from a teenager who had had a really bad day. And they had gotten in a fight with one of their parents, and they had said some things and done some things that they were just really brokenhearted over. They were just, they felt terrible for doing it. They felt terrible for saying it. And this individual said, "I just feel like I should kill myself." Very quickly saying, "Though I know that that's not going to solve anything." And so this individual said, "I'm learning that I need to reach out to safe places, and I feel like you're a safe place." And I tell you that not because I am gloating over the fact that a teenager thinks that I'm a safe spot. To be honest with you, we don't even have that great of a relationship. It's not me that she feels safe with. It's the anointing on my life. But you need to understand, it's not just the pastor that the anointing is on, that it is you and that it is me. And that every single day we walk into situations that our hearts are connected to people and they don't quite understand, but they know that they need to speak to you. They know that they're telling you things that you have no idea why they're telling you, but the things that are coming out of your mouth, you have no idea that you even had that knowledge. It is the anointing of God that people are interested in. It's the anointing of God that our hearts are connected to them. You will walk away from situations not quite sure how you got yourself in that situation or how you answered that question, only to realize that the Holy Spirit must have been at work in you. In this room, in this community, we are not known by our problems. Because I'm not known by God by my problems. We are not simply problems to be fixed. We are a masterpiece, what the Bible says. Psalm 39 says, "We are fearfully and wonderfully made, made in the image of God, of a perfect God standing with us, giving us strength, dwelling in our hearts, showing us a love and a faithfulness that is absolutely unmatched." This year is a year to go beyond the labels and the limitations that we have allowed the world to put on us and that we have put on ourselves. Romans 8, verse 1 says, "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." God is not a God sitting on some sort of throne looking down on you, asking you to be perfect. That is not the God that we serve. That is not the God that we are talking about. God is not looking for perfect people. He's looking for available people. Jesus wants you to be authentic. He is interested in your authenticity. He's interested in you being real. He's not interested in spending time on your screw-ups. He's not a parent looking at you, only wanting to see you with this perfect behavior. Jesus Christ was and is for everyone. There isn't a person on the face of this planet that God does not want to minister to. There isn't a person on the face of this planet that God does not want to heal, that God does not want to impact, that God does not want to help. God is not a rich man's God. Jesus is not a poor man's God. Jesus isn't just a God for those who have everything all together. When Jesus walked, it wasn't a thoughtless act. When Jesus walked, he looked at it as an opportunity to reach someone. In 2019, we need to be about Jesus' business. We step into a relationship with Jesus, and the Bible says that we have been redeemed, that we have been bought back, that we have been adopted. And I don't know if you know this, but adoption's not like pregnancy. Pregnancy can kind of sneak up on you. Pregnancy can kind of surprise you. If you've ever met Henley, you know what I'm talking about. But that's not adoption. Adoption looks at you square in the eyes and says, "I know exactly who it is that you are. I know exactly where you have been. And I know that we will face some things on the road or down the road, but I can't stand the thought of not having you as my own. That's the adoption that the Bible is talking about, that Jesus comes into our lives and says, no, I don't care. I know exactly who you are. I know exactly what you've done. I know for a fact that we're gonna have some moments down the road that really aren't that great, but I don't care. I can't stand the thought of not having you in my life. That is the Jesus that we serve. Jesus isn't interested in your struggles. He's fully aware of them, but he wants you anyway. Jesus completely knows your weakest points, but he doesn't bat an eye. You may say, well, I'm a drunk. He says you're anointed. You may say, I'm a cheater. He says you're chosen. You may say, I'm addicted to pornography, and he says you're free from condemnation. You may say, I'm a mean person. He says you're blessed. Change your narrative. Change the narrative that you tell yourself, and you will be able to go beyond in 2019. What is the narrative that you are telling yourself? What is the narrative that you have so worked up in your mind about yourself that is so completely contrary to what God has to say about you? That, in order to go into 2019, that's how you go beyond. But you gotta do it. You've got to do it. It's not gonna just happen for you. God is not a puppet master and you his puppet. The struggle is real with Christians today who hear the word of God and know the word of God and believe the word of God, but sit hoping, praying, fingers crossed, that God will move their feet for them. That God will just automatically give them a new perspective. The problem with this is twofold. The problem is that you're keeping yourself in a bondage that you're not supposed to be living in. And you're also keeping the people around you in bondage that you both are supposed to go free from. And you may say, I'm not sure that I can really be responsible for someone else's salvation. But according to Isaiah 61, you can. According to Isaiah 61, that's exactly what you're responsible for. That we have the ability to speak into people's lives. That we have the ability to speak into the poor person, to speak into the person who is held captive, to speak into the brokenhearted, that we have the ability to redeem them. We have the ability to open their eyes to something they didn't know was even possible. That is our job. That is a privilege. That is the Don't be the person that just wants all the gifts and doesn't want to do anything with them. The gospel of Jesus Christ isn't a New Year's resolution that we try and hold throughout the year. If that is how it's looked at, what you are trying to escape from in 2018 will only find you in 2019. And to be honest with you, when it does, it's going to come at you even harder and stronger. It's like when the Israelites left their homeland because of the famine. Do you remember the story? They left their homeland and fled to Egypt. Sometimes what we are escaping to is what we become enslaved by. Sometimes what we escape to is what we find ourselves enslaved by. Well, I was just alone and I wanted to be in a relationship, and so I got into this relationship only to find a loneliness that alone couldn't hold a candle to. Or, well, I was in a lot of pain, and so I had that drink and I took that drug to try and numb that pain, only to be enslaved to an addiction that was, I was way better with this pain. Don't run into 2018 or 2019 escaping the things of 2018. Jesus Christ is not an insurance policy that you cash in when you need it. Jesus Christ is a dude who is with you right now. This is a game changer. This is a perspective changer. This is a life changer. Ephesians 3. Ephesians 3, 14 through 17 says, "For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named." Let me repeat that. From whom every family, not just some, not just the elite, not just the special, but every family in heaven and on earth is named. According to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. As we step into 2019, many of us, we've talked about it a little bit already, will have started some sort of New Year's resolution, that New Year, New Me slogan, right? We want to change the way we look, and we want to change the amount of weight that we carry, and we want to work out more, and we're going to do it. And we change all these things, paying attention to everything on the outside, but not paying attention at all to anything on the inside. But if I may be honest, I believe that your breakthrough, the ability to go beyond in 2019, is to realize where your strength comes from. The strengthening of the inner man comes when Christ takes permanent residency in you. This isn't a residency that is temporary. This isn't a residency that is dependent upon your actions. This is when Christ comes into your life, he is forever and always there. This is a, I am never leaving you and I'm never going to forsake you type of relationship. This is not based on the conditions that you think that it is about. This is not based on the conditions that other relationships are. This is a condition that is based on his love and his love only. It is not based on your actions. It is not based on whether or not you are a good person. Christ comes into our lives and says, regardless, I'm with you. Regardless, I'm in your corner. Regardless, there is no condemnation. I'm not interested in putting you down. You have enough people in your life that do that for you. If you would just listen to the words that I have for you, you would have the ability to go beyond. You would have the ability to break free. That 2019 would be a demarcation in your life, not just the day, but the entire year. You can look back at that year and say, I started living by what God said and who God said I was, instead of living by what the culture said, trying to muster up this faith, trying to muster up this facade. I'm not living like that anymore. In order for me to go beyond, in order for me to become something that God has called me, I'm finding out where my strength resides. The scripture goes on to say that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all fullness of God. Paul's prayer is that they may be grasping the meaning of breadth, which is just another word for width. He would grasp the width and the depth and the height and the length of Christ's love. He's preaching to the Gentiles, saying, I want you to understand. I want you to understand. And to us, it may just be dimensions. But what Paul is saying is that there is nowhere you can go that Christ won't be there with you. There is nowhere you can go that Christ isn't standing there with you. There is nowhere you can go. There's one theologian that said the cross is the perfect representation of this. That the top of the cross is to go to heavenly places, that God would find you in the heavenly places. And the bottom part of the cross is that Christ would find you in the depths of hell and save you, and that the left and the right is as far east as far west, that there is no place that you can go that God won't be there with you. There is no man who is outside the love of Christ. There is no place which is out of the reach of Christ. There is no experience which the love of Christ will refuse to gain just one man. So where is that experienced? Where can I grasp that? Where can I enter into that? How can I get that? Well, it's experienced with us. It's experienced right now, here, with the church. This love that I speak about, this love that Paul is writing to the Greeks about, the beauty of it is that it is here with us right now. That we find it in the fellowship of the church, that we find it in the fellowship, in the gathering of Christians. John Wesley once said, God knows nothing of solitary religion. No man has ever gone to heaven alone. We as the church may have our faults. We may be very far from being the people we ought to be. But in the fellowship of the church, that is where we find the love of God. Can we believe in creating an atmosphere where people come in, step in, and feel the presence of God? Can we believe in being a church that shows the poor that there is a new way, that proclaims life to the brokenhearted, that shows the captive where they are already free? In 2019, can we as the body, can we as the church, can we as the community be the anointed of God in such a way that as we gather together, the presence of God falls, lives are changed, and we walk out of here, and that anointing is so thick that it rubs off on the people that we come into contact with on Monday. Maybe it's not even work. What about the anointing that your home needs? What about the anointing of the little ones in your home? What if our anointing just rubbed off on them so that we don't lose weight in 2019 because we want to look good? We lose weight in 2019 because they need to understand a healthy way of living. We don't read the Bible in 2019 to gain knowledge. We read the Bible for a new revelation, that in the midst of mom and dad talking, they hear what it is to be in a relationship with Christ. Is it too much for us to believe that we have the ability to change the community that we live in? Is it too much? I don't believe that it is. I don't believe that it is. And if you read his word, if you stand in a relationship with him, you'll never see the boundaries. Stand with me.
Thank you for listening to this week's message from the Father's House. We hope you stay connected by following us online at fathershouse.net. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram by using @TFHHutch.